Good morning and welcome to another edition of Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. And it's a very festive weekend, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday, Jay-Z.
Oh, thank you, Sarah.
Happy birthday, Jay-Z.
Joey, good morning, listeners. Yeah, it's a spring in the step this morning,
yeah.
It's fair to say. My mates thought I was a little bit crazy, I reckon, about 2 months ago when I sort of had the foresight to book out the back of a pub just for today in the chance that we might be able to swing from the rafters together.
Ooh.
And as it happens, it's Derby Day, birthday, another friend's birthday, and it's going to be a festive big afternoon, I really think. So the races are on. I can't wait to just get around my mates and our partners and just spend some time together. It's been a long time, team. So
just go slow.
I can see,
slow and steady, Jay.
I can see the excitement already in you. So
yes.
What's the plan? You're going to a pub?
We're going to a room.
Yeah,
great place in Richmond. We've got a place out the back, a room out the back for us. They've all just done it up. It's got all the ventilation, all that. Got a nice big screen.
Oh.
And if you see me walking the streets at about 5:30, 6 o'clock tonight and you're listening, you know, just hand me a water and Pabs look after me. But no, it should be fantastic. I think
babysitter for the whole day and night?
How's this, Joey?
Yeah.
Last night, my parents, we shipped them off last night.
Oh, wow. You're doing a full weekend.
So we've got,
had a
dinner last night and then we're seeing the friends today. We pick them up again tomorrow. I love my children, Joey, but thank you to my mum and my stepdad who have done a real solid for me. So I genuinely have a big, the whole of Melbourne's been up this week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't you reckon?
That's right.
Like everyone's nodding at each other and waving at each other across the streets and...
Yeah.
I think we've all enjoyed being able to do some more normal things, Jay. But it's your birthday
Monday.
There you go.
Yes, so thank you. So
and you're just a whippersnapper,
a little bit younger than you.
How old are you turning, Joe?
I had to think about it. 37.
And you stuffed this up.
I did. You asked me before, and I said 38, and then I did have to think about it. And I am only 37, so that's nice to know. That's a win. I feel like it's a win.
Yep. But what are you doing?
A little bit different. We're going to do all the Montagnas, my mum and dad, my brother and sister, and their partners and kids in the park in Thornbury tomorrow.
Beautiful.
My brother and sister are building a house out that way, so we'll go and check out their house that's coming along, have a picnic in the park, and then Monday, Aaron's taking me out for dinner tomorrow, Monday
nice
night.
Ooh, lovely.
Little restaurant in Port Melbourne that I think we'll bring Noah. We'll just be a little small dinner.
Yep.
And then Family Day Tuesday, Melbourne Cup Day. So it's a nice weekend, isn't it?
It is.
You're right. Everyone's happy and out and about.
What are you doing for Tuesday? Sarah, what are you guys doing for Tuesday? It's Melbourne Cup Day Tuesday.
I'll be working, actually. So I'll be doing live crosses from Flemington outside the gates there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Really?
Fun, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Great. Yeah. What are you guys up to?
Well, Nick Riewoldt, he's got the big pool and the big backyard in Brighton, and he's invited us because it's going to be 28 degrees on Tuesday for potentially have a swim and a barbecue and watch the races. So that might
perfect.
Be me. Yeah, perfect day.
Just slip, slop, slap, Joey. Okay, big show coming up. We're going to speak to Dennis Pagan. He's got a horse running in the Derby.
Yeah,
Johnny
very exciting.
Get Angry, a likely type there. And, of course, lots of footy news from Jay-Z also
trades.
Coming up. Lots of trades.
Lots of trades.
You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Now, guys, this time last week, it was the eve of the grand final, the morning of, I should say.
Mm.
We all predicted Geelong would win. And I think we all predicted Mitch Duncan would walk away with a Norm Smith. We forgot about someone called Dustin Martin. Peerless now, 3 Norm Smiths, the only player ever to have that accolade to his name. Jay, I mean, did we just get caught up in the storylines with Geelong?
I was doing the Norm Smith piece, and at halftime, because you have to finish the story at the end of the game pretty much well on the buzzer, and at halftime, I'm writing the story about Mitch Duncan. Yeah, the Cats are up by 3 goals. He's sort of like the fourth Beatle. He's the unsung midfielder. That pass to Hawkins was amazing. And then,
so you were happy with your work. You've told you were happy with your story at halftime. You thought the fourth Beatle story, you thought you had a good piece.
It wasn't bad, Joey.
And then delete once Dusty started kicking goals.
And then Dusty kicked that amazing goal late in the second quarter. I thought, well, that's interesting, just sort of keeps them hanging around. But Geelong was in control, weren't they?
Oh, they dominated the second quarter.
Yeah.
They dominated. I thought at halftime, I had my dad text me and I thought Geelong, the way they played, it was going to be very hard for them to get beat. But I don't know if we did forget about a man named Dusty, because we did speak to you, Jay-Z, and said you better have some good superlatives ready if this bloke becomes the first ever 3-time Normie. I did make a comment to on radio saying that he was one of the greatest already finals players, wasn't he? And if he won his third, he'd be peerless in where he went and it'd be rarefied air. I copped a bit on social media. Some people they were going, what about Hodgie and what about this and that? Yeah, you're all wrong.
Yeah.
Dusty's now the greatest finals performer of all time, and You're right. It was amazing, wasn't it?
It was
amazing.
It was the moment, the late second quarter. So when you talk about the greatest big game players and greatest finals performers, so that was the moment, wasn't it? Late in that second quarter, he pushes off with the don't argue in the middle of Kolodziejczyk's shoulder chest, and Kolodziejczyk was right there, right on his hammer. You couldn't have defended that much better than what he did. He went round the right. He had a high drop.
Yeah, he dropped it. He didn't even drop it properly.
He could have 100 goes at that snap, and all of them would sort of go out of bounds. But somehow he curled and he controlled the don't argue, the signature move. And when they needed him in that moment to keep in touch, and they went into halftime, the main break with their tails up, Joey.
Yeah.
And you know when you just get that when you just get that reignition button hits into the main break, it can change the momentum of the game. And then,
yep, and away they went. They lifted a cog after halftime. Geelong, which had been a bit of an issue, just got a bit jittery. They just played a little bit safe. They were trying to more save the game than win it. A couple of turnovers. They let Richmond back in, and it was a great grand final. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was awesome. The night, did you like the night spectacle?
Well, who were you?
Well, I live next door to Dusty. Well, Dusty's house is a couple of doors down. So his brothers were there. So they were, I must admit, they were pumped, as they would be. They've just seen their sibling become, do something that no one else in the history of the game has ever done. So they were pretty pumped. Had a few beers with them, and it was a good weekend all around. And then we rolled into the Storm on Sunday night. Oh, how good were they?
Melbourne are just ruling, and also the Vixens the weekend before. Yep. So all these teams that have been hubbing the entire year, Jay.
Extraordinary.
They come out on top. And for the Storm, what is that now? Four premierships in the last couple of years? Four grand finals in the last 5 years, I think.
There's an asterisk.
There's sort of what they claim,
They've been dominant. Two things about that game. Ryan Papenhuyzen, our man, we spoke to him last week.
Our boy,
And we said the cross-code potential. I mean, his speed and evasiveness. We know he's a million-dollar player in rugby now, but AFL recruiters would have looked at him and thought he could genuinely make that switch if he wanted to, but the commentary.
Oh.
We're all watching it and listening to the tripe from Gus Gould, and he said they were down 16-11. He said, oh, Penrith are on top here. That's when I thought I had enough of him.
How biased was that commentary? He didn't praise the Melbourne Storm at all for the whole game.
The whole time.
Even when they won, it was, Panthers, if it had gone a bit longer, the Panthers would have won. I told you the Panthers were playing better.
It was Panther.
Come on, Gus.
Panther. It was Panther. Just the Panther.
We were absolutely dominating them.
Yeah.
But how good was Cam Smith's speech at the end?
Yeah, very good.
When he tugged the jumper and said, we're doing it for the big V. We're thinking of everyone as Mel. I got a bit emotional sitting there on the couch.
Yep.
So that was a gracious response. Now I see that the Broncos are into the Storm CEO, Dave Donaghy. Now that is quite clever, because with Dave Donaghy could come.
Bring Bellamy.
And potentially.
Oh, bring Smith as well.
Even as a coach or a consultant, imagine him as having your party club. Dave Donaghy, widely respected in AFL and NRL circles, very smart move from the Broncos.
The trifecta there. All right, stick with us, because up next we speak to Dennis Pagan. He's got a horse, Johnny Get Angry, in the Derby.
What you would do. You stood there and hung your head, made me wish that I were dead. Oh, Johnny, get angry, Johnny, get mad. Give me the biggest lecture I ever had. I want a brave man, I want a caveman. Johnny, show me that you care, really care for me.
You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. Now, boys, a massive day of racing today. The feature race is, of course, the Victoria Derby. Dennis Pagan joins us on the line because Dennis has a runner, Johnny Get Angry. Dennis, how are the feelings? You must have such a thrill about today.
Look, it's very exciting as we get closer to the event, Sarah. I'm lucky that I've made the field, and I can't do anything about it now. All I can do is go and saddle up my horse, and it's all up to the jockey and the horse now. So just fingers crossed, and just have a quiet morning, and perhaps just about to make a cup of tea and have a read of the papers and relax a bit.
Well, we appreciate you joining us, Dennis. We know it's a busy time for you, but Johnny Get Angry, we love the name, and we noticed your other horses, My Squeeze, Louise and Frankie, Two Angels. You own them yourself and you also train them. We'd love to know where the names come from, but we do know Johnny Get Angry because we heard you during the week on TV, and this is the song of where Johnny Get Angry comes from.
You stood there and hung your head, made me wish that I were
catchy.
It's quite a catchy song, Dennis. We've been listening to it this morning. Where did the name come from? Obviously from the song. Is it a favourite of yours? And what about the other two names of your horses?
I can remember that tune. I'm a little bit older than you guys. We're probably talking 1960 here.
Yeah.
And it was just something that stuck in my mind. And somehow, when I had the horse and I was going to try and name him, I heard it. I might have been on the radio, and I thought, yeah, that's catchy. And then I remembered it, so I just Googled it again, and they said, gee, that's a good name for a racehorse. You know, when you name a racehorse, it's pretty hard to get it in one throw. Usually backwards and forwards with the registration of racehorses' names.
Yep.
And it's very tough. So I tried to think of something different or something usual. And if you put two or three words in, not more than 18 letters or characters, you got a chance of getting in first cab off the rank. And I think I've got eight horses now. They're all got weird and wonderful names, and they haven't come back to me. So I'm hoping they've all been accepted and away we go.
They're great names. A mate of mine bought a horse, team, and I just asked my 4-year-old, what should my mate Gilbert call his horse? And she said, Stella said, Racing Fred. So the name is Racing Fred.
Well, you're not going to get that knocked back, are you?
Hey, Dennis, on to the race, you must give yourself a chance because Johnny Get Angry has been hitting the line hard in its recent runs. I know it's probably just maybe a length or two behind a couple of the favourites, but it's certainly going to get the journey. You must be confident you can at least potentially run an each way play.
Well, I'm confident. I'm hopeful. Yeah. I know he's got good stamina down there. We just swam him in the pool and shampooed him. He looked terrific, and I was really pleased. He's jumping out of his skin. I have all my horses' DNA tested. There's a company in Ireland which does genetic blood testing on racehorses. And it just as a guide, I don't say it's a be-all, end-all, but just as a guide to what sort of distance the horse will reach. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's virtually three categories, you know, sprinters, sprinter milers, perhaps get out to 22, you know, 2400 and 2400 plus. They're the three categories. Well, Johnny Get Angry is what they call a TT long. It's 2,400 metres plus. So it gives me some confidence, and it's a guide to how you should train your horse. So I'm hopeful that comes into play today. I know he'll get the distance. The only thing I can't tell you is how fast he'll get the distance. That's going to be the key to it.
We're speaking of North Melbourne Premiership coach and now gun horse trainer Dennis Pagan.
Dennis, I read also that you've had to get a barrier extension for the horse. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, he's a very long horse. You know, he's very athletic looking. He's very tall. Sometimes I stand next to him and you look up at him and you think you've got a giraffe.
Have you called him the Spider Burton? Is that who you've compared him to?
When I see him, it reminds me of Spider Burton. I don't know if you guys can remember.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, played with the Kangaroos and coached him. He was, 6'11" and or 210 centimetres. And he was just all arms and legs. This is Johnny Get Angry. He's all legs.
And, of course, you did it all in AFL, Dennis. I mean, we hear Wayne Carey talk about you like a father. You're held in such high respect. What's your take on North Melbourne currently, Dennis? Because we know Reece Shaw has obviously stepped away from the coaching duties to focus on his mental health. What sort of a coach would you like to see in charge of your beloved Roos for next year?
Yeah, it's a tough gig. I think if you get a young coach in, he might get chewed up because I reckon they're headed for a couple of bleak years before they go forward. I really do. And I think I'd like to see a proven coach. You know, I would have liked to have seen a Rossi Lyon. Rossi was assistant to me at Carlton. I know his capabilities. Also, Mark Williams, I think he'd do well in that job. He's quite unique and perhaps a fraction eccentric, but certainly experienced. And it's funny how people view these things. I think if you're going to get an AFL coaching job, you've got to have someone at the AFL pushing for you. You've got to have an ambassador in the media, and you've got to have someone who is pushing for you within the club. Unless you get those three things, very, very hard to get an AFL coaching job. It's a pretty tough gig, AFL coaching, and it's going to be very tough at North Melbourne for the next couple of years.
Yeah, it will be. Hey, Dennis, before we let you go, we know you've got a big day. On this show every week, Jay Clark gives me a pick one. I have to choose between one. And before we let you go, I want to get yours. A premiership coach at AFL level for the Kangaroos or training Group 1 winner for a horse? You have to pick one. Which would you choose?
At this stage of my life?
Yep.
A Group 1 winning horse. I've done the other stuff. That's all I've had. I just want to get a winner at Flemington, truthful. And I happen to have landed in a Group 1 race. But if that's going to be the one, I hope it is.
Why not?
I'll be happy.
Yeah. We've got our fingers and toes crossed for you, Dennis. We hope Johnny gets angry, Johnny gets up, and we can play that tune long into the night. Good luck today.
Good on you, Pogo.
Thanks, Sarah. Thanks, Joey. See you, Jay.
What a legend. Like, imagine clocking life to the point where, premiership coach, Group 1. Like,
what do I want to do now? I love horses. I'll go and train a few horses and go into a Group 1 at Flemington.
He's the kind of guy, like, I've spoken to Dennis a bit, and I find a David Parkin similar. So I speak to them and I just leave the conversation feeling better, happier. You know, like, he's
wholesome.
He's just got this absolute effect on people, I reckon. Dennis, I'm a big fan of Pago. I love him.
Big story today.
It's
definitely a chance. It's been backed in from $34 to $21 or something. So there has been a little bit for it. It'll run well.
Yeah, I think it's placed a couple of times behind Cherry Tortoni, the favourite. All right, stick with us. Up next, Jay-Z's Footy News. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Sarah Olley. Now, the footy season has finished, Jay-Z, but that means trade period is heating up, and Geelong is a very big player in the trade period thus far. What's the latest with Jeremy Cameron and the Cats?
Yeah, huge player. I mean, they've clearly been super busy. It's a distinctive list model that they've gone down in terms of continually topping up, and I know they haven't won the flag in a while, Joey, and they've been around the mark. I think they go about it absolutely the right way. So they've made a big offer for Jeremy Cameron, bigger than what we expected, and that is very important because it's about 6 years, $950 a year. That's big money. Now, the Giants have said all along they will match. I don't think they have the cap space to match an offer that big. Now, that means that Jeremy Cameron, as things sit at the moment, I think the Giants will say they can't match that offer. Jeremy Cameron will get to Geelong. He will cost them nothing, which is...
In regards to picks.
In regards to a trade. He'll join forces with Tom Hawkins out of the goal square there. They get Sean Higgins from North Melbourne as well. Isaac Smith from Hawthorn yesterday, a running machine on the wing, and the only left footer in the Cats side, which gives him a different look through that midfield. He's obviously such a respected player. Easy, but Cameron is huge. It means that the Giants will get pick 10. It slides out to about pick 12 or pick 13. It will be, they're disappointed that he's left. But this is probably an opportunity for the Giants to really get their cap structure right. They've got to sign Josh Kelly next year. They've got to sign Tim Taranto next year, who's an $800,000 plus player. So, look, I don't think the Giants will be able to play the matching games to try and trade and get a couple of better picks. So I think they accept the compensation at 10 or 12 and just a huge result for Geelong. But also on that, and this has just dropped, but Harry Taylor won't go on. He has retired. So two-time premiership player, 280 games for the Cats, two-time All-Australian. Hard to find a more respected player, probably in the AFL, than Harry Taylor, but he won't go on, and that helps clear some of that cap space we're talking
about. Absolute ripper, Harry Taylor. He's been unbelievable, had a terrific career, had some good matchups on Nick Riewoldt. Wonderful bloke. I went to Ireland with him too, so well done to Harry Taylor. But the Cats, you're right, they're all in. I don't mind it. I like the principle of just, it's so hard to contend and be there, you might as well keep going all chips in and take that risk of being up the top and giving yourself a chance. So I like what the Cats are doing.
And don't forget too, Joe, they got three first-round picks.
Yeah, still.
And that's the long-term planning for the next sell with Dangerfield.
Yeah, so they can still have a crack now while they can still draft these kids, develop them. The Giants, so they've already got pick 10 for Zach Williams. They'll get pick 12 or something, you think, for Jeremy Cameron. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they trade them away. They want current players. They want players that can help the team now. I don't think they're at a stage where they can, you know, turn around and say, we need to go and get some more 18-year-old kids. I think that they might use those picks. And, hey, Sarah, just for the little teaser, now that you mentioned Harry Taylor, I might have a replacement. I'm going to save it for the second hour. I've just heard little whispers. There's a little bit floating around.
What are you talking about?
I'm just going to save it. Just hear me out later. Left field replacement for Harry Taylor, potentially.
For the Cats.
And it'll blow everyone's minds.
Older or younger?
He's younger than Harry Taylor.
Okay.
Ooh.
And just this is a left field one that just there's little whispers out there. I want to you'll this will blow your mind, Jake.
This marinade a little bit.
Yep.
He's happy with himself, isn't he?
He is. How do you think the Cats will handle, obviously, the loss of the grand final? What would be the things, Joey, that Chris Scott and his crew should be doing? So, yes, we know that on one hand, the list stuff, you know, they're bolstering. I mean, Hawkins and Cameron, plus Higgins to take Gary Ablett's spot. It is probably, I mean, they could start premiership favourites.
Yeah,
I think
they'll
be thereabouts.
Yeah. So you're replacing Ablett with Higgins, who I think Higgins is an absolute beauty. I've got a feel now with Isaac Smith coming into the side, what they might do is put one of their good ball users to half back. I think maybe it might be a time for Mitch Duncan to potentially play half back. Maybe Joel Selwood, time to sort of move out of the midfield, potentially play as a half back because
Matty Boyd did that and was all Australian.
There's been a lot of players that have gone to half back late in their career. And
Jared McVeigh.
Yep. Yeah. I did it for a year or so. You don't have to defend down there, but you've got to be able to hopefully use the ball. But I like it from the Cats. I think they've got to have a crack. And as your question about what do they do from the loss, it's a fine line because they're so close. They're not doing a lot wrong.
Yep.
So you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. But do they need to look at how they play? Is it quite enough? Because if you look at that second half, it's that game where they try and be a bit too perfect with their ball use out of the back line. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they always try and find a mark. It cost them two goals. Kolarczyk turned one over. Buse turned one over. Cost them goals. If that was Richmond, they just kick it long to a contest, clear the area. It's just maybe a little tinker to the way they play, but I think you're right. Geelong have got another year or two in them where they'll be at the top of the tree.
So last one on the Cats. If just say they get Higgins, we know they got Smith
and they get Cameron.
Are they the team to beat? Does this catapult them? Does this put them ahead of Richmond with these list management moves?
Probably not ahead of Richmond, but again, they'll be the equal of. They'll be one of the favourites to win it. Again, they'll be back playing at home next season.
Yep.
They'll definitely be one of the teams to beat. Absolutely.
Stick with us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. As we heard before, Joey's got a trade whisper. That'll be in the next hour. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. Now, we're all walking around with a bit of a pep in our step, aren't we? And Jay, particularly you, because it is your birthday and you can celebrate today. What's going on?
Yeah, so we're headed to a little bar in Richmond where we're going to get absolutely nuts, just to put it fairly, Sarah, to be honest. We can't wait to get stuck into the
races. What's your first drink going to be, Jay?
Yeah, so what they do there is Estrella Dam off the tap. Estrella. You know, it's like
the beer?
Yes, the beer. Yeah, the beer. So we'll start there and
work your way.
Dan Andrews said that he's going higher up the shelf
about
a week ago. I think we'll do similar. So another mate, he bought a house last night and we've got heaps happening amongst the friendship group. So we're really set for a big day, Joey.
Well, we do love our sport here on the show, but we also love having a little drink, don't we, Sarah?
And a feed. We love
our food and all that. But when
have you done already?
Yeah, when the pub's open straight away, my neighbour booked down the local, support local businesses in Albert Park. The Montague went down to the pub there on Wednesday just for a couple of hours just to get a taste for it again and having a couple of pots.
How did it feel?
It felt good. It felt real good. And surprise, surprise, have a guess who I bumped into while
Sarah
I was in
Ollie.
There. Sarah Ollie walked in. So, what are you doing here? She goes, same thing as you.
I had the taste.
And it was on Wednesday night. So, we had a couple Wednesday, and then it was good to get back to the Port Bowls Club too last night for a couple. All the boys down there. Haven't seen them for a while. So, I had a couple of beers with them and watched a few Moonee Valley races. It was very nice.
I was at the Railway Club Hotel last night in Port Melbourne.
Good.
I haven't had a steak in so long. It was delicious. Yes. It was so good. And they've got these great outdoor structures set up on either side of the pub there. So they can have heaps of people there. It was so delicious, Jack.
Yeah.
Rosie, what about you? Have you got anything planned this week?
Oh, my first meal out was at the local pizza place, Giardino's. So it was nice to, you know, you get pizza takeaway and you pick it up so it's still fresh, but there's nothing better than straight out on the plate and in your gob.
Yep.
So that was nice on the footpath. Yep. And then yesterday I went to a little sort of beer cellar, Otter's Promise, and I just happened to walk past and I just sort of looked in the door and they went, yeah, come in. So that was good. I'm back. Dinner for 10 at the ESPY on Wednesday, which I'm looking forward to. And mum and dad's for roast on Monday night, which is nice because, and there's still a lot of people who can't catch up with their family. So I feel for you all, but hopefully the 25Ks will be extended out a bit. Your birthday on Monday too,
Monday night,
it?
Yeah. So Aaron's taking me out. See, this is the shame. I wanted a good steak as well on Monday, but a lot of the good restaurants are closed on Mondays.
Yes.
It's not a day that they're really open. So we've had to sort of scratch our heads and we found a nice place.
Where are you going?
In Port Melbourne down on the water, the waterfront.
Great.
So they do steaks and seafood. So we're going to have a nice meal there. And As we're
just
chatting,
brought a little cake in.
The producer, Rabs, he's got a little cake.
Happy birthday, Jay, for today. What cake? It's really good.
Are you going to sing happy birthday, Sarah?
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Rabs.
Thank you, Rabs. Yes, very nice.
That is very kind. There is some weird stuff going on. Like, I think my wife had to book a slot at Kmart to go to Kmart this morning. Like, have you seen the pictures online of like the long lines at the front of Kmart?
There was audio that I played on the Hot Breakfast on Wednesday morning or whenever. Yeah, so yep. I clicked over into Wednesday. And so people were there at midnight just to buy undies.
Oh, wow.
I'm not that desperate to buy undies.
I do need undies and socks. Although it is my birthday, so I probably will get undies and socks for my birthday from mum. So looking forward to that.
I'm desperate to go to a Bunnings, but I might wait for another week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep getting
sausage
online.
Sizzle at Bunnings would be nice. I think that's still a
little
bit
that'll
away.
Be the good indication when we're truly back, when we can have that.
Exactly. All right. Plenty to come in this next hour. Yep. We're going to get stuck into that cake. Yep. And of course, much trade news coming up.
Yeah, what do you got?
Pies. We talk about Adam Chalmers.
There's a lot going on at Collingwood. Absolutely. That's interesting. I want to get your take on the Pies, what they're doing there. And, of course, I've got my big whisper, the Harry Taylor replacement of the Cats. Oh, this will upset everybody.
It's all coming up on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Yeah.
You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Ollie. Now, we heard, Jay, it's a massive week in terms of the Spring Carnival, but the AFL, it's still kicking over in terms of trades.
Yep.
Melbourne, what's the latest there? Are they making a play for Ben Brown?
Yeah, so they'd be disappointed that they missed out on Isaac Smith. So Isaac Smith took a two-year deal at Geelong instead of 3 years at Melbourne. That puts a bit of a question mark over Jordan Clark's future at the Cats, as we've been saying for a couple of weeks now, Joey. So that's a definite watch this space. But at Melbourne, well, they're all in on Ben Brown. So the forward half conversion was the big issue, really. They've got the pieces down back. They've got the excitement in the middle of the ground. They really need a forward structure that's going to work for Simon Goodwin. We got Luke Jackson. We got Sam Wiedemann there. And Ben Brown out of the square, Joey. Do you like that? We know he's a straight line player, isn't he? He's not great below his knees. Ben Brown, I think the offer would be responsible, sort of 550 times, you know, 3 or 4 years, etc. Do you think that Ben Brown is, you know, that answer, the solution to forwards, Melbourne's forward issues?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I like it. I think it's exactly what Melbourne need. I think there's been a bit of an overreaction to Ben Brown's football after just the first 9 games of this season and how average he went. If you look at his numbers previously, his stats are actually very, very similar career-wise to Tom Lynch.
Yep.
In regards to contested marks, the amount of goals he kicks, and the amount of possessions. They're not high possession players, but they're effective. And that's what Ben Brown is. And I just think just the flow and effect of having Ben Brown means Sam Wiedemann will get the second best defender.
Yep.
It gives Luke Jackson a little bit more time to develop, and hopefully he does play a lot of footy, but there's no pressure on him in his second year. And then it just adds, you know, Melksham and these guys and Vandenberg and little Cozzy Pickett can do their thing. So I think it's, I really like it for Melbourne. I don't think they're far off with their football. I think they just need to tinker with a few things with their system. I think their midfield need to learn to be a little bit more selfless and realise if they get less possessions, like what Richmond did a number of years ago, less possessions but play a better brand.
Yep.
I think Melbourne are a team that could really spike next year. I know I've been bullish on them for a couple of seasons, Jay. We've spoken about it here, but I like it. I think Ben Brown will kick them 50 goals. I think it straightens them up. It allows Wiedemann. I don't think he could handle being a number one forward. Mm. Wiedemann, he lacks that bit of sort of peacock confidence that you want to see from a number one.
Chest.
Yeah, like even Aaron Norton or some of these guys have that real strut.
Yeah.
I reckon Sam Wiedemann probably just doesn't look like he's got that sort of killer instinct. So I think as a second tall forward, he'll be a beauty, and I like it for the D's. I think that they should be, you know, pretty bullish about their chances next season.
Pick one, Jay.
Yep. Righto, Joey. Try and give you a curly question each week. We haven't discussed this before. Who do you think finishes higher on the ladder next year? One of these two teams, Carlton or Melbourne? Pick one, Joey. Who finishes higher out of the Demons or the Blues? And I know you love the
good
Blues.
One.
You're always talking about the Blues and the young talent, etc. coming up the chain. We know Melbourne. They got Lever. They got Steve May back there. Superstar captain Max Gawn. Yeah, it wasn't a bad
That's
one.
That's a good one, Jay.
Do you need some time to think about it?
I think so. Yeah. I think so.
Yep.
I want to ask you one. I want to ask you one as well after speaking about Carlton.
Yeah.
Do you think Paddy Cripps' best football is behind him or in front of him?
Wow. That is a big pick one.
There's a good story. There's a really good story in there.
Is Paddy Cripps' best football in front of him or behind him? I want your answer.
I need to think about that.
Okay.
We'll hear both answers after this. Stick with us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Welcome back to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey J and Sarah Olley. Now, we've had time to let a few pick ones marinate. Joey, yours.
Who finishes high, Carlton or Melbourne?
I'm going to say Melbourne. I think Melbourne are very, very close. Their back line, as you said, rock solid with Stephen May and Lever. Their forward line, if they get Ben Brown, is a good mix. And I like their midfield. They've just got a little bit of work to do in there. But I think if Melbourne just get their head straight, they can be a top four team next year. I think Carlton can play finals, but I think Melbourne have probably got the higher ceiling.
I agree. I think Melbourne. If Carlton did make finals, to what would happen, do you think?
If, like, Carlton don't make finals?
Yeah, like Carlton have to make finals next year, don't they?
Yeah, certainly knocking on the door very, very close. Yeah, they probably have to. I like their additions. I think Zach Williams plays midfield next year. I don't think they've recruited him on that money to play halfback.
Yep.
They've already got some good halfbacks at the club. Saad will be one of them.
Yep.
They've also got Williamson and Petrevsky Seaton, and we know Doherty and Newman. So they've got heaps of halfbacks.
Charlie Curnow didn't even play.
I like the way Carlton are progressing. I really do. But I do. I like Melbourne.
The knock on Williams at GWS is that he didn't get fit enough. He never got fit enough to play. So he said, I want to play midfield minutes. We'll get fit enough to play midfield minutes, and then we'll play there permanently. That's why he was stuck in the back line. So I think then it's all eyes on Zach Williams with the big money, having a big. Big summer. He's got to have the preseason of his life, I reckon. It's a really
Petraka-like preseason.
100%. I mean, we saw him have that great preliminary final against Collingwood a year ago, where he did play that huge role, which has helped get him his contract. But he's got to have a really big summer.
So, what about my question to you?
Yep.
Is Paddy Cripps best football behind him or in front of him? He's 26, so he's about to turn 26.
Yep. He had a flat year. He didn't play great this year. I think he would acknowledge that himself.
For his levels. But his numbers, contested ball-wise and clearances, were still probably top three in the competition.
He had a bumper 2019. I think he's got another gear to go. And what is going to help Paddy Cripps is having the pieces around him. So he's had a Herculean load to carry over the past couple of years. I think if they can make his role a bit more efficient, you know, concentrate on winning the hard ball, he doesn't have to do it all. He gets some speed and he needs a Robin. He's Batman.
Yes.
He needs a midfield Robin, and not Sam Walsh or a young bloke, a Stephen Cornelio type to join forces. So I think if you do that, he's probably paid, what, $900 million a year? Like Bonte, he could be a $1.2, $1.3 million Brownlow medalist.
Essendon, Jay. So much going on there. Yep. They've sacked Dan Richardson, but what's the latest with Joe Danaher?
Oh, look, absolutely. The planets aligned for them yesterday in terms of the free agency compensation. It was a win-win deal. So pick 7 for Joe Danaher. That's a great result for the Bombers. This is a guy who played, 15 games in 3 years? Groins are a bit unreliable. I mean, there's that image of him sitting on the fence, was it, up at the Gabba, you know, some question marks. You know, he needed a fresh start. But this is a great result. And now it's all eyes on Essendon, what they can do with these three early picks.
So what picks have they got?
So they got
roughly.
It's 6, 7 and potentially 8 for Saad, which will get shuffled back a couple. So then what Essendon will do is obviously ramp up their bid for Josh Dunkley at the Western Bulldogs. So they've got the pieces to get him. And as we understand, or Essendon believes, he wants to leave with 2 years remaining on his contract. So they've got the pieces to bring in Dunkley if Western Bulldogs concede to a trade and then potentially go get Treloar. And I think what they want to do, Joey, is move up the order. So with 6, 7, 8, which becomes 10, they can get up the order, as you probably know better than I, to get a top three pick, to get one of the two gun key forwards in this draft. That's Riley Thilthorpe from SA, 200-centimetre ruck forward, or forward ruck, and Logan McDonald, 196-centimetre, ultra-competitive key forward. He would start round one next year and be the perfect Danaher replacement long-term. I don't think they want Ben Brown Essendon. So they hit the draft and get a prized young tall. So they're in a great spot from a draft perspective, Essendon.
And Port Adelaide have shown with that draft haul from, I think it was 2018, if you nail those first three picks, you can go right back up the ladder, Joey.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to bring in some talent as well. That is going to be an issue, though, their forward line, won't it? You know, if they're going to have a young 18-year-old as their key focal point, they don't have anyone else down
Peter
there.
Peter Wright. So
Peter Wright,
who was a pick 8 in 2014. I think he comes across for a late pick, if the fourth-round pick or something like that. I mean, he's 26, so he is ready, right?
He can play.
Ben King went past him up there at the Gold Coast, so he needs an opportunity. It's a guy who kicked 60 goals in 2 years, in 2016, 2017, Peter, right? So he can do it, needs some opportunity.
And what do they get for Fantasia Essendon, roughly? Is it a second round pick, something like that?
I think that's about right. So maybe a first round pick and the Fantasia pick would then go to the Bulldogs for
So if they can land Dunkley and Peter Wright and get a couple of really early draft picks, it does set them up, Sarah. That's what I said. You need a couple of early draft picks. Bring in a couple of ready-made players. That's not a bad result for the Bombers.
We all know Dan Richardson. He's a lovely fellow.
Ripping guy.
He's a great guy. Come from TLA in Richmond. Obviously, he was one of the top player managers in the game before he went down to become football manager. Did you think it was the right call, Joey? I mean, there had to be a scapegoat potentially. The hub didn't work for the Bombers. They were unable to retain players, and they didn't make finals again. So I'm not surprised. Probably been on the cards for a little while. Did you? I know it's a brutal call.
It's hard to know, you know, how people work internally. We can't see what they do and how it goes on. But I can sort of understand Essendon wanting to make a statement.
Yep.
And there's always someone that's a fall guy, whether it's the right thing or not. I don't know. It's one of those tough ones.
An awkwardness with Ben Rutten because, you know, the Tigers bringing over all that.
I mean, Dan Richardson was instrumental in bringing Ben Rutten to the football club. So how does Rutten feel about it? I don't know. I'm still not sure how that's all working at Bomberland.
Ben Rutten needs a big year. And not only from a performance and on-field perspective, he needs to have the PR battle. The relationships and the connections, particularly with the senior core at Essendon. That is, I think, where the club can help grow a little bit. Whether Brad Scott is a replacement, he's one who's been talked about, could become a senior sort of football manager for the Bombers. I think they need a really solid senior presence and someone who's unafraid to make sort of hard calls, but then build that relationship and that connectivity in that footy club.
So much intrigue at Bomberland. Stick with us. Up next, we chat to Sportsbet's Nathan Brown. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. Boys, big day in racing. Four Group 1's up for offer. Joey, we know you've got some good tips.
Yeah, this is a chance for everyone to get their pad and papers out as Jay Clarkson. Your old pad and paper to Nath Brown there. I think you meant your pen and paper. Yeah. I would have thought a journalist would have known.
It's his birthday.
Couldn't be that hard, could it? Pen and paper.
I know his mind's in a different place today. He's already thinking about his lunch. But we'll recap because people love their tips today. Yes. So a chance for everyone to get their pens out because it is a big day of racing. Nathan Brown, to recap, who we just had on at Sportsbet, he said the Gold Coast Race 8, number 5 effort, is where a lot of the money at Sportsbet has gone. So he was really keen there. Race 8, number 5 at Gold Coast. He liked race 2, number 1 at Flemington, personal.
Mm-hmm.
That was his other big bets. And Young Werther as well in the Derby. That's race 7, number 5. So that's from Sportsbet. That's where all the professional punters are going. So put them down. My mailman has given me a couple, Jay-Z, a couple in Sydney, actually. And then one of our horses, we've chatted before to David Van Dyke, the horse trainer of Alligator Blood.
Yes.
It's had two runs back. Hasn't won either of them. It won its first 9 starts, remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it hadn't been fully fit. I'd got the word that first up it was only 50% fit. Second up it was getting closer. Today's its grand final. It is a heavy track, though, at Rose Hill. That's the only question mark. It hasn't run on the heavy. But if it can handle it, it's $8, Ooh. Alligator Blood.
Wow.
In a race where it's even weights, fully fit, ready to go today. So that's race 8, number 1, Alligator Blood. Great each-way bets there if you want to try and win late in the day. That's the one at Rose Hill.
I'll be having a go at that. Now, Glenn Boss on the Rush Hour, he said put your house gamble responsibly on Farnan, which today is race 6.
Number 1,
Up against Anders in that one. So Glenn Boss likes Farnan. Now, I like your provincial tracks as
you
well.
You do. You like obscure places.
Concentrates on the sort of Flemington, etc. But I got one in Kalgoorlie.
Kalgoorlie?
Yes. And get your pad and your paper out for this one. Because, and it sort of sums me up at the moment, but race 7, number 6, you get Too Fat, Too Slow. That's the horse's name.
Sounds convincing.
Describe some of us at the moment.
Me in particular. Paying $9, Joey.
So, just a tip from someone.
Yes. Now, I know you like to concentrate on your $2 and $3 numbers. Go wide here. $9 it's paying. Kalgoorlie, race 7, number 6, Too Fat, Too Slow. And by the time that this one is running, I'll be having a great old night.
Yeah, nice one. Hey, I like it. Kalgoorlie, obscure, but I reckon I can trump you. I've just been given a tip from the mailman at Awapuni.
Huh?
Do you know where Awapuni is?
No.
Do you, Rosie? Awapuni?
No.
This sounds
New Zealand.
I was going to say New Zealand.
We've gone to New Zealand and I've
across
got
the ditch.
Hey, I know you're like,
is this a rort?
This is a winner.
Okay.
It's a winner. Mark it down.
Sounds like a rort.
It's $2.50, race 8, number 10 at Awapuni. It's called the Banker or Lord Banker. Ooh. Along those lines, I've just been sent it from the mailman.
Hang
it,
on.
It will win at Awapuni. There, you can add that to your list of
New
winners.
New Zealand, race 8, number 10, paying $2.50. It's called
Banker. Is it called Lord? What's it called?
What's your tip?
Yeah, I know. They sent me the number and they've just sent me the numbers. What's it called?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you were looking it up. I thought you were looking it up.
Well, and of course, if you're just joining us, in the first hour of the show, we spoke to Dennis Pagan. He's got Johnny Get Angry in the Derby. I reckon that's a nice each way bet as well, Jay.
You like that?
I do like it. Its form line stacks up.
Hang on. I'm going to find just what it's called because people want to know the name. Jay likes the names of the horses. It doesn't really. Hang on. Race 8 at Awapuni. Number 10, it's called London Banker.
Close.
Sorry. So there you go, London Banker. And the other one that I like too, just in the Cantala race 8, this one's come through from Emma Friedman. She likes Nonconformist, race 8, number 15 in the main race. She didn't text her, I just made that up. But everyone that I listen to likes Emma's tips, so I was trying to give them Emma's tips, but that is a tip. Race 8, number 15, Nonconformist, each way.
Quick one, with Emma not here, you're our racing guru. Just in the Derby, how do you expect that race to play out? So we all keep hearing about young Werther. Is it going to lead? Are we looking for a swooper here? Have you got a feel for how this the main race might play out?
This is
today?
The challenge with this race, the Derby, because they're all 3-year-olds and none of them have ever run over this distance before. So
really?
It's basically an unknown for all of the horses,
right?
Really. So what you either get is you get the stayers that you know can run all day, like Dennis Pagan's horse, Johnny Get Angry.
Mm-hmm.
But whether there's got the turn of foot and that speed to win the race, like some horses like Cherry Tortoni and Young Werther, who have shown they've got a better turn of foot, but that was only over 1,800, 2,000 metres. So can they do it over 2,500? It's why it's always a bit of a risk. It's why I gamble responsibly. It's why I maybe have a quaddie and go wide. But I like Cherry Tortoni. It's a good horse. But I think Young Werther, it was scratched last week and they've saved it for today. I think it's probably one of the better bets on the program.
Thanks to Sportsbet, Sky Racing is now available on Sportsbet. Watch racing live on the app. Conditions apply. And of course, gamble responsibly. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The first race has just been run at Flemington. And Joey did
the short price favourite, Acer, which they were spruiking on Get On as the best bet of the day. He's just got beat. It was a good match race, but that's why I just got to be wary on these big days. All these horses, it's their grand final and Crosshaven's just beaten Acer. So the short price favourite, one of the better bets on the day, just lost the first ominous signs.
It led for about 100 until Crosshaven took over in the last 30.
Yep.
That was a great race.
Cracking
to kick off
start
the
to the day at Flemington. Now, Jay, let's change tack.
Yep.
Talking about
more footy.
Footy, yeah. Of course.
Because everyone, this is a great time of year because
it's
a chance for every club to get better. We've seen what St Kilda did with their list. We've seen what the Brisbane Lions have done with their list a couple of years ago with Lions and Lachie Neale and Charlie Cameron. Port Adelaide bring in some players. It is an opportunity where you can really jump if you nail this trade period.
Now, the Magpies. What's going on with Adam Treloar? It's a really strange situation.
And Jaden Stevenson.
Yeah, a bit messy in it. Now, clearly, Collingwood has a tight salary cap. They need to offload here to be able to retain everyone. Jordan Ngoi still hasn't signed. Now, they were hoping that that would be done this week, and it's interesting that that's still hanging out. He's, of course, managed by his father. They've done Darcy Moore, Brodie Grundy, Scotty Penderbury, and Josh Dacos. Cost them more than they probably would have thought when they were mapping out the books about a year ago. So Adam Treloar's in this situation where the club doesn't want him. It's clearly trying to punt Adam Treloar, and it sounds a bit disrespectful, but he's on up to $900,000. We talked about him as a player. He's probably not as efficient as Collingwood would like, and his partner Kimmy, will be taking their child to play up in Queensland for the Firebird. She's playing netball up there. So he'll be in a situation where he'll be playing footy down here away from his family. And the club have got doubts, really, about how he's going to be able to handle that. And that's been a conversation that they've had. Now, Adam Treloar has said, I don't want to go to Gold Coast. In fact, I don't want to go anywhere because he's on this back end of deal, having taken less previously. He sort of feels like he's owed that money and that he wants to stay at Collingwood where he'd planned. He's already changed clubs. He doesn't want to go anywhere. So the situation, Joey, is if you felt unloved and unwanted at your AFL club where you have called home for the last 5 or 6 years, despite all the hamstring trouble, could you pony up next year, look the coach and the players, everyone in the eye, and feel comfortable, content, and loved? Because environment is so important at footy clubs these days.
Yeah.
I think it's untenable for Adam Treloar. You tell me.
I'm a little bit different because the ones that don't want him aren't his teammates. The ones that don't want him probably maybe not even Nathan Buckley. It's the list management that have got themselves in a pickle where they say, gee, we need to offload some money. I get it's not ideal, but if I was a player that was confident enough, especially someone like Treloar who knows he's going to get a game every week, if he just turned around and said no to the hierarchy, I know it's not ideal, but his teammates are still going to love him. They still want him there because he's a good player. His coaches will still pick him and still help him out. I think it is possible, but I can understand now it is his chance to go and look around and want to move clubs. But guess what? He can choose where he wants to go. Mm. So I don't care if Gold Coast come and say, we'll give you pick five. If Treloar says, well, I don't want to move to Queensland. I want to play in Melbourne. He's now got the right to choose whichever club he would like to go to. So I think he's probably got to explore his options if he wants to stay in Melbourne. There's some clubs that I'm sure would love to have him, absolutely. And if Collingwood have to pay a little bit of his salary, I think he'll find another home if that's what he wants to do. And I'm sure he probably will. I mean, it's not ideal to go back to the club. I think he could do it, but I think he'll find another home, probably in Melbourne.
Is it a little bit tacky from Collingwood because they've embraced his vulnerability and now they're kind of throwing that in his face?
I agree a little bit with you. That conversation you keep saying about they don't feel that he can handle being his wife. But he would have had that conversation with his wife. Before she signed, they would have sat down as a family and said, can we make this work? Can we do it? They would have said, yes, yep, for sure. Who are the club to tell him whether they think he can handle it or not? I'm not sure about that either, Sarah. I'm with you. I think it's a little bit poor form by Collingwood. It just sounds like they're happy to get someone off their books, whether it's Jaden Stevenson, Mason Cox, Treloar. Obviously, they're desperate to free up some money.
So, was it a dud deal in the first place from Collingwood? Because when they extended him to 2025...
Well, they only extended him last year for another 5 years.
And they knew the lay of the land then. So,
well, did they, though? They probably thought the salary cap was going to go up.
But it was...
They didn't know about COVID, I suppose.
I think they had the conversation. Well, they did have the conversation with Adam Treloar with Gold Coast last year for the same reason. So I think this has been in play. Maybe they're a bit heavy-handed on the Treloar deal, as you say, 12 months ago. It'll be interesting. So you talk about where. So is it the Western Bulldogs? Because they could lose Dunkley to Essendon. Essendon thinks that Dunkley wants out. It's not all as good as it seems, potentially, at the Western Bulldogs. It's, you know, an unusual situation for a player like him to want to leave. He's very highly respected and important. Or, like, call me crazy here, Joey, but would Hawthorn, because they've already got 6 or 7 A graders as it is.
Yep.
I wouldn't rule it past Alec.
No, and this is a bad one.
This is left field because they've got Bruce, they've got Gunston, they've got Mitchell, Omiyo. Like, they're sort of
around the mark. Yeah, I mean, it's still a funny one where they're at. Yeah.
It's hard to know which way they're going to go. They got pick four, right? Just say they split that. So they trade out pick four and they get pick 9 and pick 20 or something like that. Do they then go to Collingwood with pick 9? Say, we'll have Adam Treloar create the cap space and then take your kid, try and find a gem with pick 20. As a Hawthorn fan, are you prepared to stomach that again? Because you put that midfield, Warple, O'Meara, Wingard, etc., and you add another A-grader in Treloar, like I wonder...
I know, but I think they've shown their hand, haven't they? We had Graham Wright on saying this year they're going to keep their first pick.
Treloar come out.
Yeah, good one. Interesting.
It would be interesting. You just wonder whether, but then do they have to make another move? Like, are they a bit, did Tom Mitchell go out or... I don't know. You said off the top of the show that you got a little...
Oh, my little whisper. Now, this is a little whisper. Just doing the rounds, and it's just something that's thought-provoking. I'm just hearing, and don't take it to the bank, but it's just a little whisper that maybe Geelong, we spoke about them before, they're all in. They've got Isaac Smith. They're going to get Higgins and Jeremy Cameron. I'm just hearing they may be luring Alex Rance out of retirement.
No.
The Cats may be luring Alex Rance.
Yep.
To get him to the football club. Harry Taylor's just retired. We know Henderson's not getting any younger. Could the Cats pull off something like that and get Alex Rance back to the footy club at Geelong to have another tilt at a flag? He's only 30. I think he's just turned 30, Alex Rance. Just keep it in the, you know, let's just keep that one just in the little, your little pad and paper, and we'll come back to it in a couple of weeks. And let's just see if there's any murmurings about Alex Rance potentially coming out of retirement.
I think he'd have to go back to Richmond potentially. Would his Richmond teammates come? That'd be interesting. I know Geelong's very close with Tommy Petroia, the boss of TLA, does an amazing job there. He is Rance's manager. Also, just keep an eye on St Kilda. So they've got the Crouch deal happening with Adelaide.
Yep.
This is delayed. I can't see. I mean, if I had to make a call, I think that Adelaide blink and that they have to cop an end of first round compensation pick for Brad Crouch, but things can change. St Kilda trying to clear some space in their cap. You know, Webster, Dunstan,
Robertson,
McKenzie, Robertson are all up for grabs. Also hearing murmurings about Seb Ross. And would it shock you if Jack Billings name come up over the next week?
Oh, he's got currency. How do you rate him? Club would be, well, he finished outside the top 10 in their best and fairest. He's a good player. Yeah. He's a good player.
He's not a superstar, is he?
Well, I don't think he's going to hit the elite heights of, I mean, comparing to Bontempelli, who went one pick, he went ahead of one pick. But
yeah,
Saints are still trying to, I like what St Kilda's doing. They're still trying to mix up, you know, their list and their dynamic and trying to find the right combinations, and they'll still be aggressive this year, which I like.
Stick with us. Up next, it's the Dead Set Legend of the Week. You're listening to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah Olley. Now, Jay, you're unhappy about something, are you?
Well,
we are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
Look, like many other Australians, it's fair to say I'm flat with Liquorland.
Tell the story. For the three or four people that didn't get the WhatsApp message.
We got a message saying that Liquorland had a glitch in their system and that you could get three slabs of Mountain Goat Steamer, which is a delicious drop, for $17.50 or whatever it was. So we all jumped on. Certainly our mates ended up with 9 slabs, 13 slabs, each, all that sort of stuff. And we thought we were set for the summer. But our hearts were broken, our souls were crushed when Liquorland said that we'd be refunded. I see this morning they've sent an email saying that I get a $10 discount on my next Liquorland purchase. Give me a spell.
You were that excited too. You'd sent me a message. You were telling everyone to get on. I knew it wasn't going to come off. It was always too. I learned early. Anything that's too good to be true usually is.
Fancy, you got one, Joey?
No, I don't actually. I've just got the Dead Set Legend. I love it.
Not all love heroes it. Wear capes, but all legends use Crescent tools,
trusted by the trades,
an earned reputation.
Available at Bunnings Warehouse.
This is the Dead Set Legend of the week.
But a champion becomes a legend.
Got a couple. Not all heroes wear capes. That's our promo. But I swear, Dustin Martin must wear a cape. He must wear a cape. Yep. He was unbelievable.
His undies on the outside.
Mm. Yes. Third Norm Smith medal. He is now, no one can argue, the greatest finals player ever. It was well deserved. He has to be the legend of the week because he was unbelievable.
Where does he sit, Joey? So if you got Buddy Franklin and Gary Ablett as the two top players of the modern era,
yep.
Where have you got him now in that?
Well, I probably had him before this season, probably below then, say, Dangerfield, Pendlebury.
Yep.
But I think now he goes up above them two. I think now he sits just behind Ablett and Franklin, who are the two greatest players of the modern era, if not, you know, in the top five all time. And now Dusty's just below them in the next rung. But he's at the top of the tree of anyone in the modern era besides the two legends.
Is Fife on the same platform as Dangerfield and
Pendlebury?
Yeah.
He's probably just under below again. Then, yeah. But he's, and then also to Victoria too. We've done the hard yards, Rosie.
Woo-hoo!
We've done the hard yards. We've got ourselves, fingers crossed, got ourselves out now, and we can escape our homes and get amongst it. It's going to be pretty good weather for the next.
But if you ever have
days.
A sniffle or anything like that, just go and get checked.
Get tested.
Absolutely, yep. Keep getting tested.
And then
stay diligent.
Home, but when you don't know the results yet,
if your kid's a bit sick, don't take him to daycare. Please stay at home.
Yep. That
was the Dead Set Legend of the Week for Crescent Tools. Trusted by the trades. An earned reputation. Available at Bunnings Warehouse.
Speaking of Dead Set Legends, legend over there, Jay, it's your birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy
birthday.
You see me in the sort of Swan Street area.
Yeah. I'm nervous for Richmond.
I want an incoherent text from you at about 9 o'clock.
I love you, Joey.
And happy birthday to you for Monday.
Thank you,
Joey.
Thank you. Yes, very nice.
Such a big week. Enjoy the celebrations. Everyone have a great weekend. We've got this, Victoria. We'll see you the same time next week on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.